In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And I bear witness that he raised one from among us to his right hand, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I further bear witness that those two men left one in our midst today, a divine warner, teacher, and guide, the Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in these three holy and righteous names that I greet you all with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language of Assalamu Alaikum. I want to thank you all for being on time to your meeting and coming to your meeting on time. Welcome, welcome. This is a special meeting. Every meeting that you attend in the Nation of Islam is a special meeting because we don't believe in coincidences here. So those of us who are here present at this time, it's a reason why you're here today, and it's a reason for that you are actually handpicked by God himself to be here right now. You could have been anywhere in the world right now, but you're here right now. So we want to thank you all for coming on time, and thank you all for submitting to our check procedure. You know, this is the sanctuary of peace. So we want you all to feel at peace next to your brother, next to your sister, you know, when you're next to each other. So we were given our own way of devotion by Master Fahd Muhammad, the great Mahdi himself. The way that we dress, the way that we walk and talk is... this was set up by God himself. So he set this up for us, you know, brothers on one side, sisters on the other side, so that we don't get confused or we don't get distracted by your sister or your brother next to you. You know, your thighs aren't touching each other next to the, and you thinking in your head while the message is going on. But this is a truth that has to get delivered. So that's the reason why we do that. And I thank you all for... submitting to that as well. This was actually a process that was set up by Master Fahd Muhammad because of our condition. He looked and he searched and he found us, and we were in a deep, dark condition, very bad condition that no other people on the planet had been in. So when he gave us these procedures, this was because of our condition. And I remember there was an event that I was at. It was believers there from the Nation of Islam, but there was also some natives there. And the natives were doing a ceremony in the, what's called like the Hot Lodge, or, you know, the Sauna Lodge. And they were explaining their procedure, how we're supposed to get in and in the teepee, that's what it was. And my uncle Rasul, he's blind, so he couldn't see what was going on, but he was hearing what was going on. And as the instructor is telling us that, you know, we're taking our clothes off and, you know, we're wearing shorts, and my uncle raises his hand and says, "Is this co-ed, is this women and men going in the teepee at the same time?" And the instructor says, "Yes, sir." And he didn't see, mind you. He's just listening. And he said, I don't like what I'm hearing. You know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us our way, and we're not there yet in our stage of development to be with each other half naked in a small enclosed room. So, you know, it's just our stage of development where we're at, and we're growing, praise be to Allah. So we believe that this man, Master Fahd Muhammad, is God in person. And I want everyone to listen to the speakers who are coming up, because we have a great special meeting today. We have Brother Amin, Sister Amina and Brother Seth speaking today. But I want us to listen with an open mind and an open heart, because you have something that inside of you that needs to be brought out. Whether it's good or bad, it has to be brought out so that we are being purified. So, like I said, we believe that this man mastered Muhammad. And as the speakers are speaking, I want you to ask yourself, why do we call this man mastered Muhammad? Why did we give him, why do we have him as the title master? After 400 years, over 400 years, we've been calling the white man master. But this man, a black man, comes and we give him the title master. And there's 1.8 billion Muslims on the planet, and not one goes without saying Malik Yawm al-Din, master of the day of judgment. Who is their master? Who are they praying to when they say Malik Yawm al-Din? I just want to say that we have the answers today. We have that answer, and we know who we are praying to, Master Fahd Muhammad, and we are blessed to have that answer. And with that being said, brothers, I'll be emceeing today, and I want to bring up our next presenter, Brother Amin Muhammad.
How's everybody? In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, Master of the Day of Requital. Thee do we serve, and Thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the right path. I bear witness there's none worshipable but Allah, and that Muhammad is His servant, the exalted Christ, and that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, their divine reminder, warner, comforter, special gift to us all, the guided one in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Tonight we're going to have a presentation from a clip from the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And that's when Klaatu and his robot Gordon come to save the Earth. Pretty interesting. Then we have a clip from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done. So sit back and enjoy. All right. Anybody have any questions about anything?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. That's it. Enjoy. Shafa, you enjoy tonight.
What does it matter?
Douglas, hey, look!
Boy, what a fool!
That possesses a superior weapon that the present world and its war mongers cannot master, then that nation is unable to do the first thing that a sovereign nation must do, and that is to protect and secure her citizens. The protection of every human being on our planet now is threatened by the presence of something that America has been dealing with since 1940, but this great mother wheel has been in existence since 1929. Let me stop here and say that these are not extraterrestrial planes. They are not from outside of the earth. It is written in the Bible, and you go check it for yourself. These wheels rose up from the earth. The intention of these broadcasts is to lay bare the truth of this phenomenon as taught to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it is to free all those who have been intimidated and made to look crazy, so that they will rise up and join us to tell the world what they have seen and what they have heard and what they have experienced. I'd like to share with you first some historic events that will give you the background that establishes the foundation from which we speak on this subject of the wheel. In Washington, D.C., on February 27th, 1990, we met with the editorial board of the Washington Times. And on February 28th, we met with the editorial board of the Washington Post. The owners of these papers and their great editors interviewed and questioned me for several hours. I believe these invitations were extended to me to examine me based upon my experience on the wheel, which I announced 4 months earlier on October 24th, 1989 at the JW Marriott Hotel in Washington, D.C. Present at these meetings from the Nation of Islam was myself, our late former editor of The Final Call, Brother Abdul Wali Muhammad, our Eastern Regional Minister, Minister Don Muhammad, Sister Ruth Muhammad, Brother Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad, Brother Akbar Muhammad, Brother Leonard Farrakhan Muhammad, Brother Mustafa Farrakhan, Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad, Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, and Brother Jamil Muhammad. Some of those who were present at the editorial board meeting from the Washington Post were Mr. Donald Graham, the son of the owner of the Washington Post, Ben Bradley, senior editor, Meg Greenfield, editorial page editor, and other senior editorial staff. Also present was writer Milton Coleman, a black man that had broken the story of Reverend Jesse Jackson's Hymettown remark referring to the Jewish community in New York that created an intense furor during Reverend Jackson's bid to become the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States in 1984. I had rebuked Mr. Coleman for violating the principle of disclosing a private conversation with Reverend Jackson. Not defending the reported remark, however, I was then falsely accused of threatening Milton Coleman's life. I spoke with Milton Coleman at that time, and he promised to meet with me if I would make known that I did not intend any harm to him or his family. And I said to Mr. Coleman, I said, "Brother, I'll be on the Ted Koppel show tonight, and I will make that announcement from the Ted Koppel show," which I did. And when Mr. Coleman and I were to meet to iron out our differences, the members of the Washington Post senior staff forbade him from meeting with me. So while I was at the Washington Post, I rebuked the owners and senior staff of the Washington Post at this meeting for not allowing Mr. Coleman to meet with me. This is contained in the full audio copy of the interview which we have. These meetings were of such historic significance that they were published on the very next day on the front pages of the Washington Times and the Washington Post. The words and answers that I gave to their questions was given more space in these national newspapers than any black leader has ever received in the history of these papers. It was as though both the Washington Post and the Washington Times wanted to give the world through their readers a close-up view of a man that had been labeled as a hater, an anti-Semite, and an enemy of America and the white race. We will post both of the interviews on our website that were excerpted in their papers so that you may read and understand how Almighty God Allah was guiding me in dealing with the scribes or writers of this world. They were questioning me in the same manner that Jesus was questioned by the scribes or writers of his day, as it is written of in the Bible.
So for our next presenter, we're going to welcome Brother Amin's wife, Sister Amina. I've known them my whole life pretty much, and I've always seen them side by side, and they're really a model couple. Is that right? Okay, yes. All right, put your hands together for Sister Amina.
In the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, we thank him for raising up from among us his messenger Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of their divine messenger Messiah in our midst, the eternal leader of the nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet my beloved brothers and sisters in the greeting words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum. I would also like to extend my appreciation to the local representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Abdul Halim Muhammad, for giving me the opportunity to come before you tonight. Our subject is the battle in the sky. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad addressed this question asked in Revelation 13 and 4 in Message to the Black Man in the chapter on who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him. The battle in the sky is taking place right now in your head, under your dome, in your sky. We're being deceived into following wickedness. The greatest desire of our enemy is to make the righteous disobey the law of righteousness. In his talk entitled, "Who's Christmas?", Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that obedience to God puts us at peace with God, and disobedience to God puts us at war with God. The battle in the sky. We wind up with rebellion, injustice, false peace, and false security. The serpent, the devil, the dragon, Satan, seems to have been seeking the weaker part of man, woman, to bring to naught the man, the divine man. And that's the message to the black man. It is the first and the last trick to deceive the people of God through the woman or with the woman, according to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on page 127. He's using his woman to tempt the black man by parading her half-naked body in front of him throughout mass media. He's flooding the world with propaganda against God and his true religion, Islam. He stands before the so-called Negro woman to deceive her by claiming to love her and putting his hands all over her and giving her positions and jobs where he wouldn't give the black man. And this is, the woman represents the whole nation of Islam. What he does with her is how he feels about all of us. Okay? So this is an outright destruction of the moral principles of the black man when he does that to her. And it, and in Revelations 12 and 4, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman called with the sun and the moon under her feet and under her head, a crown of 12 stars, and she being... travailing in birth, in pain, to be delivered. And there appeared a wand in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon her head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child, as soon as it was born, and she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that she should feed there 1,203 days. In this wickedness, the devil is doing everything he can to kill her and crush her. Almighty Allah will put an end to this. The time is at hand. In Luke 21, 25 through 27, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for looking after those things which are coming on this earth. And we see it every day. Earthquakes, all kind of tidal waves, droughts. I mean, everything. You see what's going on in the news tonight, the whole East Coast and everything. So all of this is to disrupt her, her airways, her communication. The magnetic powers of the moon will bring about such tidal waves and seize the ocean as man has never witnessed it before. As men's hearts fill them with fear at the sea, looking upon great tidal waves and mountain, looking like mountains, they shall also see a great display of power from Almighty God Allah in the sky. And this is what Brother Amin just showed us. The Bible and the Holy Quran says there will be not one city left that will not be leveled to the ground. Using this force against the enemies of Allah will make it impossible for them to survive. This is all known to this world. They're trying to build a defense against Almighty God Allah, but their time is up and not going to be able to do it. It's useless for them to even try. America has had it. Look at how she has been, and she still is mistreating us and mistreating people all over the world. Disgraceful. Oh. I'm sorry, my time is up. I just want to thank you. May Allah bless you all.
Let's give it up for Sister Amina. All praise is due to Allah. There's a battle up there and there's a battle up here as well. So without further delay, I want to bring up a brother who has helped me in my development personally and helped me with my confidence as well. This brother, good looking brother, sharp all the time. Want to bring up, and he has some good words and wisdom to share for us. I want to bring up Brother Seth Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Woo! In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Fard Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and Mahdi of the Muslims. Hold on 1 second, everyone. Let me get my notes together. Praise be to Allah. Messiah of the Christians and Mahdi of the Muslims. I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ. And I also bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is his reminder and warner, comforter, grace, and Messiah here in our midst. I'd like to greet all the Muslims here in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Preaching to the choir, all of you are here are registered Muslims. All praises due to Allah. Okay. No? Oh, we have Sister Dana Burns is in the house. You on your way. All praises due to Allah. That's right. So we have one guest who's not maybe familiar with the wheel. Tonight's topic, of course, is the battle in the sky. And we got a quick look into what the wheel represents from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we got a quick look into how the battle in the sky also represents the battle going on in your mind and heart, spiritual warfare from Ephesians that our sister Amina spoke of. Let's give Brother Amin and Sister Amina and Brother Mateen a round of applause. This is one of those days where you go, can I make it to the mosque? Can I hide out? Can I dodge? My PowerPoint didn't work. Brother Stanley said, you were supposed to let me know in advance anyway. I'm like, oh, okay. So I had some statistics and some numbers that I wanted to share, but I guess I'll get to that. How was the audio? Is that too close? Okay, praise be to Allah. Well. Okay, the battle in the sky. As Muslims, we're warriors, right? Spiritually, physically. And just a quick question, I guess it's just gonna be an in-house talk. Has anyone here ever had to indulge in a physical fight? Anybody had to put those things up and do a little something? Raise them up high, don't be playing around with it. What? So we got some peaceful people here. Brother Hassan, he'd been on the peaceful path. Okay, praise be to Allah. Sister Mina, you was throwing those? Sister Aisha? Praise be to Allah. Okay. Brother Martin, did you have a hand up? Okay, so we all been there before. You know, did anyone have those parents that if you ever had a fight, they threatened to come up to the school and beat up little children and whatever else have you? Anybody have those type of parents? I was the only one. My father was like, don't have me come up to you. I was like, they're in the kindergarten. How are you going to beat up a little kid? Anyway, I'm saying that and I'm just kind of being light because what I have in these notes, I don't know if I'm going to share this, Brother Haleem. But having someone that you know has your back, having someone that you know is a champion, having someone that you know is invincible, is the most secure feeling you can have. And that, as Muslims, we know that Allah has our back. We know that we don't believe in a mystery God. We believe that Allah came in the person of Master Fard Muhammad and made himself known here in America in the 1930s. We believe that he raised up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and put a mission on his shoulders. You know, so with that, I don't know if you've ever tested the God, if you've ever set a goal or made a challenge that may seem like you would not have been able to do it on your own, and have you witnessed the glory and the power of the God? Have any of you ever felt the power, glory and power of God? Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. So, anyway, I'm gonna talk a little bit. I went and saw the movie Napoleon. It was bad, it was terrible. But in the advertisement, it says he was never defeated. He conquered everything. But as Muslims, we know our history. We know that our brothers in Haiti, our sisters in Haiti, fought Napoleon's army, right? And they were triumphant, and this was like the late 1803. And their Haitian independence is coming up on January 1st, 1804 was the actual date, right? And I'm just saying that because the enemy, with this battle in the sky, is constantly trying to rewrite history and give us a narrative so that he can take your power, so that he can take your confidence. Every day they run a narrative in their movies, in their print media. Let me go to these notes. Let me just get out of here. So, all praises due to Allah. Okay. Sister Amina, you got my you put some, you know, Ephesians down, so praise be to Allah. So be patient with me just a little bit. I am a student in the ministry class, and I'm just, this is my second time coming up to host the keynote, so I appreciate your patience with me. Battle in the sky. Okay, so we do have a first time Wednesday night guest. All praises due to Allah. My sister Huda came in. Our sister from Somalia is here. It's her first year here in the United States. I got to put her on blast. All praises due to Allah. She came out. So, some of us look at the will. How many of you believe that there is a will? There is a mother plane. Okay, how many of you have never heard of the mother plane? Raise your hand if you've never heard of the mother plane. Put them up. Okay, all praises due to Allah. Before I talk about the mother plane and the statistics and the what it's here for, let's talk about that mental aspect that Sister Amina spoke of, the war that goes on in our head and in our mind every day. The challenges you face as a believing righteous person, striving to be righteous in the heart of Babylon, in America, right? So currently, we're on a course of study from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called Self-Improvement, the Basis of Community Development. We're on Study Guide 17, which is Hypocrisy and Conspiracy. So, at last Friday's study group, the question was asked, is it possible that you could be a part of a conspiracy and not know it? Did anyone get a chance to come out to Friday's study group? All praises due to Allah. Okay, so one of the things that we talked about that is a deterrent and a killer of your spirit is slack talk and gossip. And slack talk and gossip is what's promoted throughout America every day in talk shows, radio hosts, podcasts. It becomes so normal that Satan makes evil fair seeming by consistently putting it there in your face, subtly inviting you to participate, right? All praises to Allah. So in our book of restrictive law, slack talk is defined as the type of conversation that is loose, negligent, and careless. It also provides the definition of gossip, which is rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, or intimate nature, a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts, trivial, chatty talk, or writing. Now, I know I'm not perfect. And, of course, I found myself, slipping into slack talk and gossip before, of course. But if you have good people around you, and this is just a reminder for us as a community, so because unconsciously sometimes we start to slack talk and gossip. So, it is our duty, this is what we talked about in the study group, to check a believer in a loving way, in a humble manner, because today it's them, tomorrow it's you. So just something to go over from our ministry class and from our slack talk and gossip. Also, in our Supreme Wisdom Lessons lesson number one, why did we run Yaqub and his maid devil from the root of civilization? And the answer is because they had started making trouble among the righteous, telling lies. They accused the righteous people, causing them to fight and kill one another. This is happening right now in the society. People just accuse, and they'll start in the ranks, accusing somebody, which could be slack talk, gossip, or slander, and this causes people to look at each other funny. So it is a big disease that can happen very fast in your mosque and in your family, your home, or whatever, in your community. So has this ever happened to anyone where you were a victim of slack talk and gossip? Yes. All praises due to Allah. Okay, I had a guest. My guest came in, and they were like, who brought you, invited you? They were like, Seth Muhammad. And someone said, oh, he brings all the ladies. And I said, wow. So my guest was like, well, I felt a little strange. I felt kind of uncomfortable. And that's not the way to go. We shouldn't do that, right? That's inappropriate, right?
You know, we got to handle our guests better than that, right? So, you know, who knows? And of course, that person may not know, have been aware of what they were saying or the impact that it might have on a first-time guest, right? So I'm just using that as an example. The Great War of Armageddon. I had a great slideshow. You won't get a PowerPoint slide. You won't get the chance to see it. But okay. This is something that I just wanted to address. I had a brother as well. He told me that this is interesting. And I'm only saying this as a community so that we can self-improve and help each other to be strong, right? All praise is due to Allah. So we know that from the Holy Quran, Allah says that men are the maintainers of women, right? So he was a brother, I think he was over 45, but he desired to have a family still. He wanted another family. And someone told him, well, you're too old to have a young wife. And I'm like, wait a minute. So they said, it's almost like being a pedophile if you had a wife in their 20s or 30s. And it's like, wait a minute. There are so many people throughout the earth and in the nation who, where men are older than their wife or wives may be older than their husband. Is that a crime? Okay, yeah. If a brother and a sister are believers and they find peace with each other and are getting married, we should be happy for them, right?
Yes,
all praise is due to Allah. Okay. Who knows? So in the Bible, what? I mean, people say things, right? But if we don't check that, that might become a living thing. That might be a problem, right? You know, because in the world, we live in a world where the enemy has made it so that roles are reversed. You know, the women are dominant now in our community. I don't really see it happening in the white community as much, or the Asian community, or the Hispanic, so-called Hispanic community. But in our community, we have been flipped. So, you know, that same worldly perspective of, you know, the woman, basically, I'm the man, I'm running things. I make more money, I have this, I have that. It starts to creep its way into our conversation and into our exchange. So we have to be very mindful of how, what we say, and to guard ourselves against becoming swept up in the propaganda, as our sister Amina talked about from Revelations, the dragon and the flood that the woman was facing, right? All praises to Allah. Okay. Okay, so as here we are. What does it say? I'm not even going to read this. But the Holy Quran actually talks about it in chapter 49 called The Apartments, verse 12. O you who believe, avoid most of suspicion, for surely suspicion in some cases is sin. And spy not, nor let someone of you backbite others. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You abhor it and keep your duty to Allah. Surely Allah is oft returning to mercy, merciful. All praises to Allah. So here we are today, born in this divine time here in the United States. this is weird. It would have made more sense if I had this slide, but this is a pledge that we all have to take to avoid slack talk and gossip. And it starts at home itself. When we put our hand here on your heart and just repeat these three words. I love me. It starts right there, because if you don't love yourself, it's hard to find love for someone else, right? So just, as we know, the kingdom of God is where? And that's from, what book is that? Chapter, I know Sister Dana Burns knows that. What is the book of Luke? What? Okay, no, I'm just putting you on blast. You don't know that scripture? Okay. I'm going to make it very personal up here. All praises due to Allah. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay. Let me just go to my other half. This is not working out. Okay, praise be to Allah. Okay. All right, this is a spiritual lesson. You know, it's inspiring to tell our children of the victories that we've had as righteous believers or Muslims throughout history. Has anyone ever studied the black Muslim Moors who came from Africa to conquer Spain? Raise your hand, Brother Amin. Praise be to Allah. Brother, Sister Amina. Beautiful narrative to share with our children and with our families, because here you had a large number of brothers and sisters sail from their homeland in North Africa to the southern
shores of Spain, the Iberian Peninsula. And when they arrived, they were facing an army of like 100,000. They were quite outnumbered. And the general, Tariq, he told them, he said, let me quote them. He says, this is how the legend goes, at least. He said, behind you is the sea, and before you the enemy. And he said, oh, my warriors, whither would you flee? Behind you is the sea, and before you is the enemy. And then he ordered them to burn their ships. So when they stepped on that ground, they burned their ships. It was forever forward. They could not go backwards, right? So with that, they conquered. They won. They had nowhere to go. So the lesson of burning your ships or those bridges that lead you back to your old life, you know, when we embark on a journey, we have to burn those ships and go forward. And those Muslims stayed in lower Europe, Spain, Portugal, and Europe for 700 years until 1492, where they were exiled and kicked out. And we know in 1492, that was the same year that Christopher Columbus came out to the West here, right? All praises due to Allah. Muslim stories, the wheel. I'm gonna get to the wheel too. Praise be to Allah. Okay, anyway, let's go. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us about this wheel in the sky, right? A man-made planet, what is it? Let me see, let me make sure I have. Come on, Muslims, all praises due to Allah, thank you. So he said on the wheel there were how many smaller planes? 1,500 smaller planes. How many bombs did they carry? 3 bombs, and when those bombs are dropped, they go down a mile. How high or low? A mile deep. So we've heard metaphors about a human beings also being baby planes, right? As a Muslim, you leave a good word and a good vibe with other human beings, and you plant those positive seeds, right? Because you and yourself are like a baby plane, right? All praises due to Allah. So anyway, a lot of us sometimes feel like, why would Allah need a mother plane? Why would he need to destroy America or the enemies of righteousness? Has anyone ever wondered that? Do you think it's necessary for a mother plane? Oh, yeah? Okay. So he said the bombs are equipped with motors and the toughest of steel. And he talked about Ezekiel in chapter 10 of Ezekiel. He talked about how Ezekiel saw the wheel, and it was terrible just to behold it. Anyway, anyway, let me just give you a few numbers. Gosh, this is not going to go right. Okay, praise be to Allah. Okay, so let me just give you a couple of numbers. So, do anyone know how big Tempe is? How many people live in the city of Tempe? How many people live in the city of Phoenix? Avondale. Now this would have been great on my slides, but let me see. So this is just a reminder as to why Allah has to destroy this world. Because sometimes we forget all of the murder, the mayhem, the rape that Caucasian white people have done all around the planet to indigenous original people, right? So as of in 2021, they said the population of Phoenix was about 1.6 million. In Tempe, Tempe's population was 184,119. Scottsdale, a little larger, 242,000. Avondale, a little smaller, 90,000. Plus, Levine, about 50,000, right? So when you look at the history of the Caucasian, and I don't know if you've ever taken a look, and you think about people, because even right now, there are wars going on where you hear about body counts. People here one day, gone the next, men, women, and children. And you know, this is just a reminder to us as to why the mother plane and the great battle in the sky is quite necessary. So when you go down to Australia, we see the black men in Australia who they told us to call them Aborigines, right? So I was working in Oakland, and I met this sister downtown. We were talking, and she was saying she was working on an assignment. I said, well, where are you from? She said, Australia. I said, oh, you're Aborigine. She gave me the mean mug. She said, we don't call ourselves that. I said, what? I said, what do you call yourself? Black. And I said, oh, okay, I was schooled. I said, I'm pardon me. Because the enemy is good at giving us language that divides us so that we don't see ourselves
in the reflection of another human being who may be from a different part of the planet. And the history of the Aboriginal people, they were very spiritual, very beautiful, but they were massacred. It says that from 1788 until the mid-20th century, there were 500 massacres in Australia from European settlements. At least 11,000 to 14,000 people were murdered, just men, women, and children, right? And if we move forward to the Philippines, you know, the original Filipinos, they called them the Griots. They were black, little small, almost like a pygmy type people, right? There's a lot of Muslims in the Philippines to this day. So there in the Philippines, they say there was 200,000 Filipino civilian deaths in the American-Filipino War, which lasted only about 3 years, 20,000. That's more than half of the population of Levine, which is 50. That's a lot of people dying, right? So then let's talk about Japan in 1945. Who remember what happened in Japan in 1945? Yeah, the United States dropped 2 atomic bombs. Do you know how many people were murdered instantly? They say that some 140,000 people of the population of 350 in Hiroshima died instantly. And in Nagasaki, 74,000. So totaling about 214,000 people. These are human beings instantly snuffed out through atomic war, right? I had some pictures of families up here. Let me do my mind. There was families. Because when you put a face to it, when you see a grandmother, when you see, okay, thank you, brother. So anyway, let me move along. So Native Americans, they say the Native Americans' death toll was over 4 million. And I'm sure these numbers are low because this came from the internet. So Christopher Columbus, they said 90% of the indigenous population when he came in 1492, once again, disappeared. That's millions of people, millions of lives. And of course, throughout Africa, in the Congo alone, there were 5 to 8 million at least that were murdered from 1885 to 1920. 8 million or more. I have a long list of all the different populations. Anyway, wanted to kind of take you through that, but I only have a few more minutes. Okay. I'm not going to go into the dimensions of the plane because most people here are from the class. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Theology Time, he says this. He said, you have been listening to the truth of judgment. And back in the day when you came into the mosque in the Nation of Islam, usually there was a blackboard up that had a flag of the United States and a flag of the Islamic flag. And on the flag, this was on my thing, it said, Christianity versus Islam, which one will survive the war of Armageddon? And then under Christianity, it said slavery. And under Islam, it said freedom, justice, and equality. So with that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is telling us that we are coming into the judgment and the destruction of America. But he says this in Theology of Time, which was from the year 1972. He says, you have been listening to the truth of judgment. I warn you to get ready now, not to wait like the people of Lot and the people of Noah. Don't wait until the last minute, because nobody loved us but God. They don't want us. We're too ignorant and disgraceful of self. Nobody wanted us, he said to me, but himself. And I'm talking of Master Farid Muhammad, of course. If it had been left to them, he's referring to the other scientists in the East, the other scientists would have not given this devil a chance at all. They would have killed him as soon as his time was up. And that would have been us along with him, right? So they had... Pardon me. They had... They had been waiting for the time. He said they were ready. He said some of the boys and young men and teenagers and whatnot would go around in circles singing a song. This is in the East. Take me to North America. Take me to North America, the land on the shore of Tennessee. I promise my Allah will not return until I push the devils into hell. That's how much they love you. This is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They hate the devil for mistreating us, right? So it's hard for us to imagine somebody else seeing our condition. Here we are at the mosque. Oftentimes, you know, those who come here every week,
You know, you say, why am I doing this? Why am I coming out to the mosque? Why am I giving my time, my attention, and my energy? You know, black people, we hard to work with oftentimes, right? And then we think about Alfonso, this brother from amongst those scientists. These other scientists said, let those black people in America go. Let them die. Let them die with the devil. But he had so much love for us that he said, I'm going to send my son, I'm going to prepare my son and send my son to North America. And he's going to raise up our people to put them back into the height of civilization. So this little brother, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, was raised up in Detroit. After the master came and gave 25,000 holy names, he was the one who recognized him. And from here, here we are today in London, from New York to California to Trinidad to Phoenix. We all are studying the same study guide. We all have the same protocol. We are in a nation of Islam and its building. So all praises to Allah. But, oh gosh. With that, this was a disaster. Thank you guys for being patient with me. Yes, sir. So let me give up some praise to you guys. Let me give it up to the Vanguard and to the FOI for all the drills that you've been doing in the community. Doing a great job. Inspiring others, the official exercise of the gods. I'm gonna give it up to my brother Martin for doing great last week on here Wednesday when he closed it out. And give it up to all the other presenters. All of the brothers who hold posts at the National House, of course. 24 hours a day. You know, we run in our own nation. This is my last minute. This is the latest final call. And in Minister Farrakhan's article on page 20, it reads, the challenge to change. Who is your leader, God or Satan? Sounds like the War of Armageddon, right? Yeah. All praises due to Allah. So I'm sorry that I kind of had a disaster report here. But thanks. May Allah bless everyone with health and wealth. And may we all have a beautiful new year going into the 2024 to improve. May we start to organize and be ready for the fall of America. You know, we as a community have to be tight. We have to have our supplies, right? Yes, sir. We should have our network. So we got a little work to do to be a little tighter, right? I know I do. So may Allah bless everyone. As I came before you in the greeting words of peace, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum.